Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Our listener support and appreciation campaign continues, and I want to go ahead and thank our latest Patreon supporters. Thank you to Heather and Paul, both becoming Patreon supporters at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. You can join them at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And you'll receive a monthly update from me, along with the ability to help choose our summer series. We've got a great variety of programs that we're going to offer. Check that out over at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And if you're in the United States or Canada, whether you're able to contribute or not, I would encourage you to fill out our advertising survey at adsurvey.greatdetectives.net. Now we're going to continue on with this week's Johnny Dollar serial. This is the first one that's gone across 2 weeks. We will be playing episodes 6 and 7 today. So if you're listening to this week's serial a week at a time, we'll want to wait till Friday, and then we'll have part 8 and 9 for you to listen to as well. But here from October 22nd and October 24th, 1956, is the Phantom Chase Matter, episodes 6 and 7.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is Connie, Mr. Dollar.
Well, you're about the last person in the world I thought I'd be hearing from.
What do you mean? I waited for you last night at the Tradewinds Bar, but you didn't show up.
No, I got delayed on the way by a hit over the head in a warehouse in a pier.
What?
No, don't tell me that surprises you.
Of course it does.
Look, that whole routine of yours yesterday about telling me where Tom Chase is hiding was just a decoy so he could get me down there and try to finish me off. If that night watchman hadn't come along when he did,
look,
I'd still...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Want to prove that?
Yes, but how?
By opening up and telling me what this is all about. Where are you now?
Downstairs in the lobby.
I'll be right down.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Barbados, British West Indies, to the Home Office, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Phantom Chase Matter. Expense account continue. Item 21, 2 cents. Exactly what I'd have taken at that point to chuck the whole deal. Getting slugged on the head the night before was bad enough, but when I got down to the lobby that morning and found that Connie was nowhere in sight, I realized I was right back where I started from, which was nowhere. I went over to the desk.
Yes, sir?
Hey, look, a girl just phoned me from the lobby. Did you see her?
Yes, sir. A most attractive young lady.
Yeah, and right now a most invisible young lady. Where'd she go?
Why, I don't know, sir.
Was she alone?
Oh, she's quite alone. She came in and asked to be put through to your room, and after she'd hung up, she suddenly turned and walked out.
Oh, well, that's just great. You wouldn't happen to know her.
I'm afraid that's a pleasure that's been denied me, sir.
Ever seen her before?
Yes, once or twice around town.
Was she with someone when you saw her?
Oh, sir, a woman with such obvious charm is seldom alone.
Yeah, well, you remember what the man she was with looked like?
Well, only in a vague sort of way, I'm afraid. He was large, rather handsome, athletic-looking, I'd say.
Could be Chase, all right.
Chase?
Skip it. Well, that's that, I guess.
Sorry you didn't make connections, sir. But perhaps you'll come back.
I'm not counting on it. A long time ago, I learned that in my job, it's always a good idea to keep in contact with the local authorities. So I decided to visit the Colonial Police. As of the moment, I needed a shoulder to do a little crying on. The shoulder in this case turned out to belong to an Inspector Whitsett.
Let me see if I have this thing straight, Mr. Dollar. This chap you're looking for, Tom Chase, embezzled some money from the New York investment firm in which he was a junior partner.
Yeah, that's right, Inspector. Everson and Chase was the firm. $120,000 was the amount.
Goodness, Chase must be a rather clever swindler.
Yeah, and pretty speedy, too. He's kept two jumps ahead of me all the way.
And you think he's traveling under the name of Tom James?
I'm sure of it. In New Orleans, a man named Freddie Quintana told me Chase and James are one and the same and showed me some handwriting to prove it.
That Chase eluded you in New Orleans?
Yeah. Quintana was going to turn him over to me for a price, but then he turned up dead in an alley.
So your friend Chase is dangerous as well as clever. Why, you do have your problems, don't you?
A bucket full of them, Inspector. Mm.
And now you think that this Chase or James is hiding here in Barbados?
Well, I'm pretty sure of it. You see, he left New Orleans in a hurry after Quintana's murder.
Understandably.
But he burned some papers, not completely, and we found one with some numbers on it. They turned out to be about a ship sailing. I intercepted the ship at Haiti, but learned that Chase had gotten off in Havana.
I see.
The Havana police found out for me that he'd bought a plane ticket here to Barbados.
And so here you are. Well, I must say, you're persistent.
Oh, yeah. But so far, it's got me one big nothing. I thought my luck had changed when I met Connie last night, but apparently, that was just a decoy.
Connie?
Yeah, here. Here, I've written down a description of her. I'd sure appreciate it if you could help me find her.
Yeah. Oh, I say, from this description, it sounds as though it would be a pleasure to find her, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, Inspector, she's quite a dish.
How does this Connie enter into the situation?
Well, pretty basically. You see, nobody up in New York could figure out why Chase had turned sour. His senior partner, George Everson, was mystified, and so was Chase's wife, Lola. But I guess the reason was pretty obvious right from the start. Except nobody wanted to face up to it.
I take it you refer to perhaps the classic reason, another woman.
Right. I found out that Chase's New Orleans hideout had been arranged for him by a woman. Then last night, Connie told me she knew where Chase was, and for enough money to get back to the States, she'd tell me.
Well, then this Connie would appear to be the other woman, huh?
Yeah. She said she wanted out, but it turned out to be a trap.
Oh? How so?
Well, she set up a meeting for us last night, but on the way to it, I got slugged.
Oh?
Apparently, a night watchman came along right afterwards. Otherwise, I suppose Chase would have finished me off. One thing I don't get, though.
What's that?
Well, why would Connie call me from the hotel lobby this morning, then duck out before I could get downstairs?
Was she alone when she left?
According to the clerk, yes. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Inspector. Could be she still wanted to go through with the deal, but spotted Chase closing in, so she ducked out.
Yeah, something like that. Well, Mr. Dollar, it would appear you're stymied unless you can find Connie again.
Stymied? Inspector, I'm scuttled.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dollar.
Clerk, has that girl been back?
And the one you called Connie?
Yeah.
No, sir. I've been keeping an eye out for her here in the lobby, but I've seen no sign of her.
No calls or messages for me, huh?
No, sir. If I see her, of course I'll get in touch with you immediately. You'll be in your room?
No. I'll be at the Tradewinds Bar.
The Tradewinds? Well, that's one of the waterfront bars, isn't it, Mr. Dollar?
That's right.
It was none of my business, sir, but I would be just a bit careful if I were you.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, that part of town, sir, it's not the best.
Oh, you're telling me. I got hit over the head down in that part of town last night.
And now you're going back there?
Real glutton for punishment, huh? My thought was that the Tradewinds Bar was as good a place to go as any at the moment. Connie had wanted me to meet her there last night. If she really was on the up and up, she might try to contact me there again. The Tradewinds was a typical waterfront dive. Through the swirling smoke, I could make out sailors, fishermen, West Indians, and tourists all rubbing elbows. Item 22, 50 cents, two rum punches. They came cheap there. Halfway through the second one, I spotted someone in the doorway, Connie. But then she saw me and ducked out fast. So she didn't want to contact me, but I sure wanted to contact her. I went out the side door. My hunch was right. She was trying the alley. I stepped in front of her.
Let go of me.
Oh, no, baby. Just stay put.
Please. I don't know what this is all about. Honest, Mr. Dollar.
Now, look. This is no time to start playing coy. Where's Chase?
I don't know.
Come on.
Please, you must believe me. I should never have come to you in the first place. I'm not Chase's girlfriend like you think.
Oh, try again, sister.
Really, I'm telling the truth, Mr. Dollar. I know I posed to you as his girl, but I'm really not.
Look.
I was trying to work something for myself. When you started talking about murder, I realized I was getting involved in things I shouldn't.
What are you talking about?
Honestly, I can explain everything to you, Mr. Dollar.
Okay. Inside. That's just what you're gonna do. Look, we'll take this table right here. Go on, sit down. All right now, Connie, let's have it.
Mr. Dollar, I want you to know I'm pretty ashamed of myself for what I was trying to do. It was wrong. I should have realized it sooner.
Less editorial and more news, huh?
Well, I met Tom Chase, or Tom James as he calls himself, here in Barbados a couple of days ago.
A couple of days ago? You mean in New York a long time ago, don't you, Connie?
No, Mr. Dollar, I wasn't Chase's girlfriend. I'd never seen him before 2 days ago, right here.
Go on.
I had a date with him. Then I found out you'd been asking around town for him, so I decided on a plan.
So?
I found you and told you I knew where Chase was. You thought I was his girl, and so I went along with it. I was supposed to have a date with him last night here at the Trade Winds, but he didn't come.
He was too busy hitting me over the head at the time. You telling me the truth, Connie?
I swear it.
Then there's one big question. Why did you do it?
Because I'm broke, Mr. Dollar. I'm stranded here in Barbados, and I want to go back to the States. I thought
you were going to put the finger on him for enough dough to get back to the States, huh?
I'm afraid that's about it.
And you don't have any idea where he is now?
None at all.
Well, that's just fine. My last lead, out the window.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar.
You're sorry? Look, did he mention his girlfriend to you?
He did say he was expecting a friend down here.
They probably had it rigged for her to meet him here later. He didn't give you any indication where he was staying, huh?
No.
Or what his future plans were?
No. There was one thing.
Well, what was it?
Well, I don't know if it means anything
or not. Come on, let's have it.
Well, we were here at the Trade Winds night before last. Afterwards, we walked around the waterfront for a while.
Yeah?
Tom stopped and talked to one of the fishermen there for quite a while.
Ah. Could you hear what they were saying?
No, they left me and went off to one side.
Now, listen, Connie. Do you think you'd recognize that fisherman if you saw him again?
Yes, I think so.
Then come on. We went outside. It was sunset. A few fishermen were scattered along the wharves, mending nets, getting their gear in shape. We gave each one of them the once-over and then kept going. Suddenly, Connie stopped.
There he is, Johnny. The one who's yawning.
Okay, thanks. You stay here. Good evening.
Good evening.
You don't sound very convinced.
Oh, sure, it's a good evening. Soon it will be a good night, and then I can go to bed.
Hey, look, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
Mind staying awake a few minutes?
Good. It's that I'm tired. Last night I worked all night.
Oh? Fishing really must be good around here.
It's not the fishing. It was the passenger.
Passenger? Who?
He don't give his name.
Where'd you take him?
Lagos Island.
Where's that?
3 hours by boat from here.
What's there?
Nothing.
Nothing?
A small abandoned pier, an old abandoned house. Nothing else. Nobody else.
Uh-huh. You let him off there, huh?
Yes. But he should be comfortable. He took much food with him.
You mean he's there now, then?
Sure. There are no boats there, and nobody could swim so far.
I see. Okay, partner. Thanks a lot. Pleasant dreams. At this point, it looked real easy, and I began to wonder if it wasn't a little too easy. Chase sitting there on Lagos Island with no way to get off. All I had to do was hire myself a boat and go pick him up. I looked at the fisherman. He smiled at me politely. I looked back at Connie. She smiled too. Yeah, everything could be on the up and up. Or it could be a great big trap. But one thing was clear. I was going to have to go to Lagos Island to find out.
Thank you.
Johnny Dollar.
This is Lola Chase, Johnny.
Lola, where are you?
At a hotel over at Mirasol Beach.
Mirasol Beach, you're here in Barbados?
Yes.
Look, when I left you in New Orleans, you promised to go back home to New York.
I know, but I just couldn't stay there. Look, it's my husband you're after, Johnny. He's an embezzler, and according to you, he's even a murderer. But he's still my husband. If there's anything I can do to help him...
Lola, the best you can do is to stay away.
I'm sorry, I just can't, Johnny. Please don't try to make me.
Lola, I'm coming over to see you. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Barbados, British West Indies, to the Home Office, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Phantom Chase matter. Expense account continued. Item 23, $1.20, American, cab fare to Lola's hotel at Mirasol Beach. She was waiting for me on the terrace.
Please don't be mad at me, Johnny.
Oh, I'm not mad, Lola. It's just that I hate to see you keep leading with your chin. It's the best way I know of to get kicked in the face.
I know.
After all Chase has done, you still...
I've discovered something about me.
Yeah? What do you mean?
It does hurt to get kicked in the face. It hurts plenty. But you know, after a while, you get over being hurt.
Oh.
When you found out it was a woman who arranged Tom's hideout in New Orleans, I thought, well, it seemed like the end of the world for me. Up to that point, I kept trying to tell myself that the reason Tom had embezzled the money was because he was in trouble of some kind, and I could help him. But I guess down deep I knew, right from the start, it had to be another woman.
And that's why I wanted you to go back to New York, Lola. I don't want to see you get hurt anymore.
I know. But, Johnny, I don't think I can be hurt anymore.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't count on it.
I mean it. When I found out there was another... It ended a lot of things for me. And one of them was the way I used to feel about Tom.
You're over it now?
Not completely, of course, but things are different with me now.
Then I still don't get why you came down here.
I still want to help Tom if it's humanly possible, don't you see? Let's say I feel obligated to because of the way things used to be. Does that make sense, Johnny?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I gotta be going now, Lola. It looks like your husband is holed up on an island about 3 hours from here.
Is he all right?
I wouldn't know. I haven't been close enough to find out, except once. And that once got me a lump on the head.
What do you mean?
Oh, I ran into a girl named Connie. Thought she was Tom's friend. She offered to locate him for me. I guess he was following and caught up with me down at the waterfront.
He attacked you?
Yeah. Then it turned out the girl was only trying to promote herself a trip back to the States. She knew I was looking for Chase. She'd had a date or two with him, so she saw a chance to make some money.
But... how did you find out where Tom's hiding?
The girl heard him talking to a fisherman. She pointed him out to me. He told me he'd taken Chase to Lagos Island. Now, if that fisherman's on the level, it looks like the case is just about wound up.
And if he isn't?
It could be another trap. But with luck, I should be back by dark with your husband.
I'll be waiting, Johnny.
Expense account item 24950, long distance call to Chase's senior partner, George Everson, in New York. I figured he ought to know that Lola was down here in Barbados.
Lola there? Why, Mr. Dollar, I thought she was right here at home in New York.
No, she just arrived this morning.
Yes, but this is no good having her there. It just means more pain for her.
She says she's over that part of it.
You don't know, Lola. I don't think she'll ever be over Tom Chase. Mr. Dollar... I'm going to take the first plane to Barbados and bring Lola back to New York with me.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Mr. Everson. This time, maybe you can make her stay. Things could get a little rough around here, and I'd just as soon she was somewhere else.
Rough? Johnny, you've located Chase?
I think so.
Well, look, maybe if I came down right away, I could persuade him to give himself up.
Afraid it's a little too late for that, Mr. Everson. It looks like Chase is holed up on a deserted island. I'm leaving in a few minutes to pick him up.
He doesn't know you're coming?
That's what I'm going to find out. See you when I get back. I hope. Item 25, 30 bucks rental on a power cruiser. I wanted one I could handle alone and one with a radio. After I'd arranged for it, I told the owner to get it ready while I paid a visit to Inspector Whitsett at Colonial Police Headquarters.
Lagos Island, sir. That's where this chap Chase is hiding.
Yeah, it looks like it. According to this chart I have, it's about 3 hours out.
Yes, just about, I should think. How'd you find out that Chase was there?
Well, I finally located that girl, Connie, who'd pulled the disappearing act on me.
Good.
Not good. Turns out she isn't Chase's girl after all.
Oh.
At least I don't think she is. But she'd heard him talking to a fisherman. She pointed out the fisherman, and he told me he'd taken Chase to Lagos Island.
I wonder, Mr. Dollar.
Hmm?
Well, doesn't the whole story sound just a wee bit pat to you?
Yeah. And that's just what's worrying me. This whole deal could be a trap. Connie could still be Chase's girl. And that fisherman could be in on the deal, too.
In which case, you could be in for a bit of trouble at Lagos Island.
Well, there's one way to find out, Inspector.
Well, let's hope it's not the wrong way.
What do you know about Lagos?
Well, it's fairly flat, pretty heavy underbrush. A small cove with a rickety pier and an abandoned house on the other side of the island.
Anyone living on the island? I mean, other than Chase.
No, not that I know of. Or there used to be rather good sport fishing out there, but that died down a couple of years ago. Oh, I doubt that anyone's been near the place in quite a while.
I see. Look, Inspector, I'd like you to do me a favor.
Oh, certainly.
Well, I've got a radio on the boat I rented. My call letters are 6X3. Now, here's a description of the fisherman in this boat. I'd appreciate it if you could have one of your men keep an eye on him and radio to me if he puts out to sea after I do.
Very well. Of course, even if he did put to sea, it wouldn't necessarily prove that he was working with Chase and was going after you. He might just be going fishing.
Oh, sure. Just one thing, though, Inspector.
Hmm?
I don't want to be the fish. I went down to the waterfront. My boat was all ready, so I went aboard and shoved off. Once out of the harbor, I set my course for Lagos Island. The boat was equipped with a rig for lashing the wheel in position, sort of an automatic pilot. So I snapped it in place and started down into the cabin. And then I saw the cabin was occupied. Lola.
Hello, John.
Oh, great. For 2 cents, Lola.
I knew you'd turn back and put me ashore, but please don't.
I can't, but only because I can't afford to take the time.
I'm glad.
But if you think I like the idea of your stowing away, you're crazy. Do you mind telling me why you did it?
For a very good reason.
Well, let's have it.
Tom obviously doesn't want to be found.
I think he's made that clear enough.
And you... Well, you're the kind who doesn't stop until you finish your job.
So?
So, that being the way things are... Johnny, somebody could get hurt. And I couldn't stand that. I thought that maybe if I came, there wouldn't be any violence.
Oh, look, Lola, Chase isn't going to get hurt if you'll just be sensible.
I wasn't only thinking of Tom. I wouldn't want you to get hurt either, Johnny.
Oh?
I've thought about you a lot. About how wonderful you've been to me. It's funny.
What is?
Oh, just that if things were different, maybe you and I...
Maybe. But things never are different, Lola.
I know.
Are you sure that's the reason you came along?
What do you mean?
It wouldn't by any chance be because you want to help Tom Chase.
Help him? I told you, Johnny, if there's anything I can do to help you, I want to. That's why I came down
here. I mean,
here.
Help him get away from me.
Thanks for your very charming opinion of me. It's wonderful knowing that's the way you feel.
Look, Lola, whatever my own private opinions and feelings are or might be, sometimes I have to file them away and concentrate on the way things look.
When the time comes, Johnny, you'll see that that isn't the way it is at all.
I hope so, because the time could be pretty soon.
6X3 from Barbados Control. 6X3 from Barbados Control. Over.
This is 6X3. Go ahead.
This is Inspector Whitsett, Dollar.
Oh, yes, Inspector.
The fisherman in question left the harbor about 20 minutes after you did. He may be following you. Be careful.
I'll try, believe me. Thanks, Inspector. Over and out.
What does that mean, Johnny?
It means that this Lagos Island deal could be a trap.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Find out. What else? We kept going. A couple of hours later, we sighted the island. There was no sign of life, and I headed for the rickety pier. was nobody in sight, so we went ashore. Inspector Whitsett had said the house was on the other side of the island, so we started through the underbrush.
It's awful dense in here.
Yeah, it sure is.
How far is it across the island, Johnny?
Oh, about a mile, I think.
Oh. Is there anything over there?
A deserted house, although it's probably not deserted now. Easy through here. This stuff is pretty rough going.
Look, if Tom won't give himself up, will you let me talk to him?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to take any chances with you, Lola.
You mean you still think I might try to help him escape?
I mean, he could be pretty dangerous right now.
Oh, he'd never turn on me, Johnny.
Don't count on it. I remember a guy named Freddie Quintana who tried to turn him in back in New Orleans. Freddie wound up dead.
No, I still can't believe Tom had anything to do with that. He's not the type. Johnny!
Get down. You were saying, Lola?
Where did it come from?
Who knows in this underbrush? Come on, down in the gully. He's shooting wild. He mustn't be able to see us.
What do we do?
Work our way along the gully and keep as quiet as possible. Maybe we can spot him from the other end. Careful now.
Johnny, your gun. You're not going to try to shoot him.
You think he's trying to shake hands with us?
Oh, but...
Be quiet, will you? It's thick in here.
Can you see anything at all?
No, nothing. Hold it a minute.
What's the matter?
Shh. Not a sound. Now, look, you'd better stay right here, Lola. This is a fairly sheltered spot. You'll be safe.
What are you going to do?
Track him down.
Johnny, how do you know it's Tom out there?
I don't. But whoever it is sure not hanging the welcome mat out for us. I'm funny that way, Lola. I don't like getting shot at. Now, you stay here.
But Johnny,
do as I say. Still wild.
That came from a different direction, it sounded
like. Yeah, from behind us.
Toward the beach.
Well, they must have circled around us. Hey.
What's the matter?
The beach. Oh, brother, is this a sucker play?
What do you mean?
He's heading for our boat. Come on. We took off through the underbrush, heading for the beach. It was slow going. Vines kept grabbing our legs. The footing was bad. Then we finally came out into the opening. I saw my hunch was right. He'd started the boat and was pulling away. By the time we got to the pier, he was heading out to sea, out of range. He turned and looked back at us over his shoulder.
Johnny, it's Tom. It is Tom!
Now, here's our star to tell you about the next exciting episode of this story.
Next, a friend of the rescue and an unfriendly phone call from a killer. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us for the next exciting episode of this story on Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Lola's behavior is just plain suspicious despite her, "Well, that's what you think of me," nonsense. Johnny is clearly sympathetic to her, but also the level of oddness in her conduct is throwing up red flags for him. Her explanation of her emotional state is weird, but on the other hand, emotions are funny things, and if she's truthful, she's definitely dealing with some difficult situations. And again, we're left with a heck of a cliffhanger with them left stranded on the island. One other thing to note, the Trade Winds bar rang a bell to me, and I checked the bar in the Dangerous Assignment episode when Steve Mitchell went to Trinidad, and Robert Reif also wrote that script, and he also named the bar the Trade Winds Bar. Now, to be fair, it's a common enough name, so it's plausible that there are multiple Trade Winds bars. And of course, sadly, this one had no Lord Byron or live Calypso singing. The reason this story is 9 parts long is that the episode that was supposed to air on October 23rd, 1956, Tuesday, was preempted by a speech by Democratic presidential nominee Adlai Stevenson. This was supposed to be a 10-part story, but the story was compressed down to 9 and is probably better for it. I will note that some logs or file systems even list the second half of the episode we played today as episode 8 rather than episode 7, since the Wednesday episode was supposed to be episode 8. However, that's not right. Renumbering the Wednesday through Friday episodes as 8 through 10 as originally intended creates the appearance that there's a missing episode 7 that aired on Tuesdays. In reality, the Phantom Chase matter is complete as aired, and those episodes properly labeled as episodes 7 through 9. So that's why we're doing it that way. All right, listener comments and feedback now, and we start over on YouTube where Ron comments regarding the picture postcard matter. Is it just me, or does this feel like a James Bond 007 adventure? I responded, of course, that it feels like a Steve Mitchell deal, but of course, Dangerous Assignment and Man Called X were really the way that American listeners tended to think of spy stories prior to Bond. It's an understandable association. And one thing that's really great about the serial era and all of the different writers is that there are so many moods to the serialized stories. Certain of the scripts, particularly those that had an origin in hard-boiled detective video episodes, is those that were written by E. Jack Newman and rewritten under the pseudonym John Dawson, had this sort of hard-boiled feel of the late 40s, early 50s. And then you have ones that really do feel like very good stories that fit in the era. You have the Tony Barrett serials, which honestly feel like that they could easily have been done in the 1960s. And then you've got these ones that have got more of the sort of spy vibe and feel, more of an adventure take, a lot of the Robert Reif stories falling into that sort of feel. And then you have the Johnstone stories, which have their own charms. And the nice thing is that Johnny remains pretty consistent, and there are occasionally discordant notes, which we've talked about throughout the run, but nothing that's like too jarring. It's not like during the early John Lund era. So you get all of these different types of stories, but with the same lead and the same general characterization. Then we have a nice email from Tim. This comes regarding our Twice Told Tale special. And he writes, "Rarely do I get sentimental, especially over old-time radio. When Steve Dunn took over for Howard Duff as Sam Spade, I was against it. But over time, the memory of Duff kind of fades, and Dunn becomes the new Spade. No big deal. Then Adam plays the McCoy, and like a favorite pair of shoes fitting so well, yet forgotten, here is Duff again. I wanted so badly to hear Effie and License 137596. Thank you, Adam, for bringing Howard Duff back to us." Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the comment, Tim. And I will admit, Well, I didn't quite feel that sentimental. I definitely appreciated the opportunity to hear Duff perform again in a detective role, probably more than I did when I first played the episode. I played it like back in the fourth season as a special before I'd gone through all of Duff's run as Sam Spade. And I think the way that the McCoy was written, it was made to evoke the good memories of Sam Spade. So I think that was very intentional. Personally, having listened to all of the Howard Duff Sam Spades in circulation and playing the McCoy, it increases my desire that more episodes of Sam Spade would be found. I did actually get the Sam Spade script book. I need to review for the website one of these days. As I read it, I heard Duff's voice in my head, and I still definitely want there to be more. Thank you so much, Tim. And then from Facebook, Emmett says, I enjoyed listening to these two episodes. The Howard Duff episode was especially good, or maybe I just missed hearing him in a detective role. As for the Johnny Dollar version of the story, it quite nearly sounded like the John Lund show because it certainly bore little relationship to the Johnny Dollar I know. Thanks, Adam, for posting these. Well, thank you so much, Emmett. And I do think in those early months of John Lund's run as Johnny Dollar, there was a bit of a struggle to establish the show's identity that transcended whatever script they were reperforming. And then we had a couple of thoughts on the police headquarters. On YouTube, Eric says thank you, and Betsy said, aside from the history, this show has no redeeming features, in my opinion. Ouch. Well, I would actually agree that Police Headquarters is kind of a prickly series. I do think some of the stories can be kind of interesting and entertaining, but to each their own. And then we also have a new review in the Apple Podcast Store. And the listener writes, people that complain about commercials or Adam's voice should consider what it takes for someone like Adam, who built this podcast many years ago and made it more robust as a sideline to his job on his own with nothing but the love of old-time radio behind him. I, for one, have grown to love the sound and feel of this podcast. Before we complain, can we first take stock of what's involved in putting this together? And if you, the complainer, can do better. After all, I would love to listen to any of his detractors' podcast to compare. Have a great day. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your kind review, as well as your understanding. Now, I also should say for perspective, that while there are some very critical reviews on the Apple Podcast Store, we have a really solid rating of 4.4 out of 5, based on more than 1,700 ratings. So I appreciate everyone who's been so positive. And I read out those positive reviews, and I tend not to read out the negative ones, mainly because I found it gave kind of a more negative feel to the show that I didn't want to provide. Plus, if someone's being very negative and mean, you know, you don't feed the trolls. But I also think that just being transparent is helpful. Now, if you don't really care, that's fine. This will be like the last segment of the show before I sign off. So feel free to go on to the next thing. I'll just explain some of the advertising ins and outs and the way things work. When it comes to the ads that you hear on the podcast, those are generally dynamic insertion ads. They're sold by Spreaker, a host on a marketplace. And I choose the number of ads that run on each specific episode. And when it comes to scheduling the ads, I set them up so it does not interrupt the drama itself. So we'll play ads at the beginning, which are pre-roll, and ads at the end, which are post-roll. And then we'll have one or more mid-roll points. And the only places I will put those mid-roll ads are either right before the drama or right after it. Now, take the time to do that. There are options to just let the system choose the add point, but I don't want it to come on in the middle of the drama. And I do that on YouTube as well. And if we have longer episodes, whether it's because of more commentary or whether it's because of longer dramas, there will be more ads. I try to keep it as limited as possible. With these sort of ads, it varies quite a bit depending on what inventory is sold as to how much you actually will receive, depending on what bid is made. And also how many ads are sold. It's what's called the fill rate. So there's a lot of variation in that. We also have very little control over what goes out there. Think about it as if you're listening to a nationally syndicated radio program, and those ads are like the local ads. There are a few categories that I am able to block, and I do so, particularly the political category, despite the fact that there are a lot of people trying to pressure podcasters into running political ads because it's 2024 and there's a lot of money to be had at that. But as long as I have a say on it, we're not going to do it. Now, another thing that we do get asked about in terms of advertising, and people will sometimes phrase this as, you have infomercials running on your podcast. No, we don't. Never have. If you hear something where they're talking about, it slices, it dices, it does your taxes, it will peel your potatoes and give you the skin of a 25-year-old, and you can just set it and forget it, that's not something that I approved. We do have podcasts doing what is called feed drops. This is part of a podcast discovery effort. Because one of the great challenges with podcast production is you can make this fantastic podcast, but it is very difficult to find an audience. So you'll have companies that produce podcasts that are on various topics, and they want to get listeners to their podcasts. So they put a sample out, and it used to be done in a way, and honestly, we have had some issues with the way that it actually worked in the past, but the way that it works now, it'll show up as an item in your feed with you might also enjoy and then information on that podcast. And you can listen to it or not. And if you enjoy it, then you can add it to the list of podcasts that you follow. And I will say that I'm really, really picky. I started out being picky about what podcast I include, and I've gotten even more so over time. Because I've listened to some of your feedback and what type of programs people will consider and on what feeds. I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts and then saying, no, I don't think so. And there are a lot of efforts and a lot of ways to make money that I'm not comfortable with, and I end up rejecting them. All of this is just to say that there is a thought process involved, and trying to balance a lot of things in the business decisions we make to make sure that we're balancing doing the right things for listeners with also making sure that we're able to keep doing this work and making this effort. And this, by the way, is a reason why if you're in the U.S. or Canada, I'd really appreciate you filling out the ad survey at adsurvey.greatdetectives.net, because it can help us find what the type of business is that we could have as long-term sponsors, which would help us be able to run higher quality ads and receive a higher payout for the ads that we run, and really be able to determine what type of sponsors would work best for you. With so many podcasts out there, they're able to have sort of more ongoing and regular sponsors because it's obvious the type of people who listen to the podcast. A great example of this, and a pretty obvious obvious one is Tom Fox, who was with us on Sunday. And he's got some very specific built-in audiences with compliance professionals. So the survey we're running through our listener support and appreciation campaign will give us an idea of where our listeners are at in terms of professionally, as well as the type of sponsors that you might want to hear from. Again, you can fill that out at adsurvey.greatdetectives.net. And I hope that for those who are interested, I gave a nice overview of kind of my thought processes and the way that I do business. And for those who don't actually care, I did give you a chance to opt out of this, so don't blame me. Quote, a classic song of the 1940s. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Jameson. Jameson has been one of our Patreon supporters since June of 2015, currently supporting the podcast at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Jameson. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download it from. We'll be back on Friday with the conclusion of this week's Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serial. But join us back here tomorrow for Dangerous Assignment, where
patrol boat wasn't far away when it happened. Heard the explosion when the shell hit. They picked up Ubeck, swept the area thoroughly, and no sign of the ghost ship.
Where'd you say this happened?
Off Batu Island. Oh, quite a way up the coast.
And the ghost is probably headed this way to pick up that stuff at the storehouse, huh?
Oh, it's a distinct possibility. All things considered, she'll be due at the spot in another hour or so. Here we are, Steve.
After you.
Thanks.
Any particular reason why the ghost would want to sink the fishing boat?
Oh, might have mistaken her for the patrol boat. There was quite a fog, you know.
Was the fisher equipped with a radio?
Right. But many of them are equipped with radio. That's the reason, I think. The ghost rammed three other fishers in the past month.
Yeah. She probably likes privacy, doesn't want anyone around to report her position. Do we have any description of her?
Other than that she's a freighter? None. But before the night's over, we might know a lot more about our friend the ghost. I hope.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.